celebrations, Mother's Day adventures. I was just commenting to somebody about that, and maybe you've experienced it as a mother when you're young and you have kids. It's like it's a day for them to honor you and get the attention. But at some point, if your kids, as they grow, they have their own families. They're now get the celebration. I always laugh. My daughter-in-law likes to go away and go see a movie by herself. And she's like, this is my Mother's Day dream. I've been dreaming about this. I got my movie picked out, and I'm going to go watch it. And so it's kind of like, that's true. It is a time to celebrate the adventure of being a mom, and there is no day off for moms, especially with young children. As much as dads try to fill in, we fail. And sometimes epically fail. It's like, oh, I didn't think about that. Just like, how do you do that? But it's still good because then it brings an appreciation for moms that we wouldn't have unless we try to be one ourselves and realize that what a gift that moms are. And now there's certain days that pastors have that you don't have to think about what you're going to preach about. And Mother's Day is one of those days. You know, Christmas, you know, it's like, well, Thanksgiving, say thankfulness. You know, those celebrations that we get to do, and we want to celebrate. Because every event that we celebrate, really, in essence, is an opportunity to be thankful for who God is. As we celebrate Mother's Day, you know, just in the history of the U.S., it is credited to a woman named Anna Jarvis in 1908. She began to push for the celebration, official celebration, and then in 1914, it became an official holiday in the U.S. What's interesting to me is that it's also an official date in of the second Sunday in May in Canada and Australia. You know, those other countries that it's an official day too. And I know they have Dia de la Madre, you know, in South America, and different countries have chosen to celebrate. But what's fascinating to me is we think Father's Day and barbecue and all that. But when 1914 was when Mother's Day became official, it wasn't until 1972 that Father's Day became official. 52 years later. Well, I just want you to know that kind of shouts it out right there, you know, right? Who is it that people notice? They notice their mom. They notice their mom, and it's significant. We do Father's Day. I usually do a Father's Day message that fathers impact ways in significant ways that mothers don't. But the reality is that all of us incredibly influenced, especially in those younger years, by moms. Because God has wired moms with the sensitivity and compassion. And there's something about birthing a kid that causes a connection that is lifelong that us guys will never understand. And I quite honestly, I'm okay with that. But it is a reality. You know, it took me months to get my little kid to give me a little smile. And then I started to get attached to him. But mama was attached to him from the day they were conceived. And the day they were born, we celebrate these days. I think about it, as the saying goes, a mother's job is never finished. Never finished. And those things, as motherhood is really is a lifelong assignment that God has filled with nurturing, with care, with guiding, with, you know, all of that with multitasking. I'm so astounded. And we all have different personality types. And as I talk about my personality type being concrete, sequential, it's like, just give me one thing to do at a time. But I'm always amazed where women and moms can do multitasking. You know, that comes to the adage where they have eyes on the back of their head. You know, it's kind of like they hear a conversation over here. You shouldn't be saying that, honey. They're like, what? I was having a private conversation with my brother or sister. No. They see and do it all as they're putting things together, that challenge that moms have. and to choose and want to raise members of society to the that would be the next generation. And it doesn't come without a sacrifice. You know how many moms have put careers and dreams on hold because of their assignment to raise their children. We talk about children and the different impact that moms and dads have. That moms most often are the ones with discipling kids in their faith. And I, being a wannabe psychologist, I'm always just observing what I observe, and I call it anecdotal, meaning there's no statistics, but I'm sure there are lots of statistics about the impact that moms have, but that each faith of children, when you see the faith that kids have, that a lot of that comes from moms, because in those early years, they're being formed, you know, and just they talk about personality, the hunter-gatherer, you know, like, arr, arr, arr. You know, yesterday we did some yard work, and my buddy Leaf had some amazing tools that he brought out, you know, to cut things down. And Rich with his edger, you know, it's kind of like what other people were pulling weeds. The guys were out there using tools. You know, it's like the bigger the tool, the better. You know, it just does how God designed. But in that process of raising kids, you know, to nurture and the significance of that as Christian families of moms raising and passing on the faith. I think of Timothy in the Bible where Paul, you know, it says it was your grandma and your mom, Timothy, that raised you in the faith. As Timothy and on going on and sustaining early those early churches. And today, you know, we want to honor our own moms. And that's why I love Rich sharing. You know, and we want to honor our grandparents. We want to honor those people who had those influence on our lives, where they were providing. And maybe we didn't have the best mom, but there are women in our life who provided those things and God's grace to impact us in ways that changed us, that grew us. I think about Mother's Day. For some, this is a painful day because maybe there's relationships that are estranged. Maybe it's a loss of a mom that this reminds you of. That just acknowledge that. And for some, it is full of joy. Man, you're in like the moment that you feel like so fulfilled in being a mother and seeing the impact you have and the joy that kids bring, not to mention the challenge, but the joys of being a mom. Moms, if you think about it, have an impossible role. You know, all these things that are required of them to lead and to nurture and to still keep it all together and to organize and to follow up. And did you remember those questions? Did you remember what was going on today? Did you remember to do your homework? Did you take out the trash? Did you come here and give your mom a hug? Those things that we do. For some, Mother's Day, whether regardless what it brings, we can celebrate Mother's Day because women are made in the image of God. Those attributes that are different than guys, those attributes that God reflects in His image, right? God says He made men and women to reflect. Together we get to reflect. There's things that we're passionate about. There's things that how we're wired. There's things that both men and women reflect. It as we talk about moms, I want us to spend, and this will be, you guys can rest assured, this will be the only question I ask this message. And I'm thinking about, you know, ways to ask questions that are not challenging or intimidating. But the question is, what impact did a mother figure have in your life that you appreciate? You know, and it may have been your mom. It may have been the lady next door. I know Jackie grew up to a motherly grandma figure next door. And it was one of the first ladies besides her mom that I met when I got introduced to her life in Chico, California, was the lady, Miss Kirkendall, next door. She said, I want you to meet her. Because there's something significant about that relationship. And we all know that moms are wonderful, but there's other people that speak into our lives as well. But as you reflect about your mom or those mother's figures, what is it that you see that you've been impacted by that you appreciate? In your table, at your table, would you talk about that for the next 4 minutes? Make sure everybody has a chance to share, and then we'll come back together. Awesome. Well, I love hearing the conversations because it helps remind me what I maybe didn't remember or notice. To hear somebody else articulate it and you go, yeah, me too, or I didn't think about that. To celebrate with those things, because I think it's one of the kind of things we can all say, what do you wish your mom did better? Right? We could all come up things like that. But really to focus in, what is it that we appreciate it? Because those are a reflection of who God created them to be. As we talk about Mother's Day, I think about moms in the Bible. Obviously, there are a lot of moms. We wouldn't be here if there wasn't a lot of moms. But thinking about just some highlighted, some people, moms in the Bible that are, you'd say, are famous. Like, we'd start out the first mom, right? Eve. Yeah, pretty famous, right? The mother of humanity, you know, never mind, like I said, we all could pick out negative things. We won't go there today. But we'll talk about mom, be the first mom to birth a kid, you know, and Cain and Abel and Seth. And again, we talk about things that went south really quickly, but that's significant. We talk about Sarah. Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And she was, how old was she when she had her kid, Isaac, the child of promise? 90 years old. 90 years old. Can you imagine that, Gladys? You ready to have a kid? It's like, it was so funny. It's like, when you raise your kids, you're like, no, I'm over it. It's like, I am not going through that again. But 90 years old, and she, to have a child and to love something, a dream come true. And here's a name that I'm sure is on the tip of your tongue is Jochebed. Right? Can you say that? Jochebed. Whose mom was that? That was Moses' mom. Exactly. That's a significant name. There were no other Jochebeds that I know. And quite honestly, those are kind of those, that's a name that only your parents would give you, I guess. I'm sure it means something significant. But she was at the time of the Israelites were in Egypt, and they had become so numerous that the Pharaoh issued an edict that you need to kill every single male son that is born. And she looked at Moses and said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Her fame was that she said, I'm not doing it. I'm going to put him in a basket, wicker basket, seal up with tar, and set him afloat in the reeds in the Nile. And if you know the story, that it was Pharaoh's daughter that ended up picking him up and raising him as her own. And then he led Israel out of Egypt to become the people that God called them through. We talk about Hannah, who prayed for years to what, have a child. And so she prayed, said, God, please give me a child. And God answered her prayer. And who was her son? Samuel. What's to me just astounding is after she finished nursing him, what did she do? She gave him to the Lord. I just can't imagine that. You know, a dream that you would have to have a kid and you finally have him and then you give him away. It just shows her character that she recognized who it was that gave her that ability to have that child. And that child belonged to the Lord. We say that lip service, right? Our kids belong to the Lord. But then to walk it out is a faith decision. And talk about the mother Ruth, a Moabite, another nation, but because of her integrity and her honoring the relationships that she had, God honored her. Who is Ruth? Ruth was the grandmother of King David. that she got pulled into a family and got to be a part of the Messiah's lineage, the ancestry of Jesus, because of her integrity. She couldn't have planned that. She couldn't have navigated that. And then there's Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Another elderly mother who had no kids until John the Baptist came. And she became, had to raise him, talking about a guy who had conviction. It was so funny. Some of us have watched The Chosen. And it's so funny how they depict, you know, everybody knows who they don't call him John the Baptist. They call him Crazy John. A guy who's in the wilderness eating grasshoppers, you know, locusts and honey. He's like, got a little crazy in him. And willing to stand in the face of the religious leaders and call them vipers, you know. And it's like, dude, be careful. Crazy John. To raise a kid that isn't sucked into pleasing people, but into pleasing God. And then there's the mother of all mothers. Mary. The mother of Jesus. The mother of Jesus, the most famous mother of all. Hey, just thinking about it, as you raise your kids, as whether it's an adopted kid or neighbor's kid that you feel like you've raised, or your own kids, it's challenging, to say the least. But whose job did Mary have to raise? The Son of God? It's like, hey, here, take this. Will you raise Jesus? What a challenging, overwhelming perspective. Who was Mary? Who was Mary? As we look at her life, we see the first picture in a conversation she has with an angel named Gabriel. When you look in your word as we pull up Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and you can read on the screen or in your own app or word. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, the town of in Galilee. Let's skip ahead. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was pretty greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary said, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." If you had an angel come into your house, into your place, and meet you, and tell you, hey, you're highly favored. God's taken notice of you. And he tells you that you're going to become pregnant, and you're going to have, before the little balloons with the colors in it, the angel knows it's going to be a boy, and you're to call him Jesus. Before you even know you're pregnant, you know he's going to be a boy, and you know he's going to call him Jesus. And you find out he's great, he's going to be great. And how great is he going to be? Oh, he's just going to be the Son of God. That's all. And he's going to rule, and he's a king who's going to rule. You are going to give birth to a king who's going to sit on David's throne in the lineage of promised royalty. And how long is his reign going to last? Forever. Forever. And I mean, that kind of boggles the mind. You're thinking people are born and they die, come and go, and this guy's going to rule forever? My question is, I thought about this, what would be the first question that you'd ask? Would you ask, oh man, what, favored? What did I do to get noticed? Or the Son of God? I mean, that just sounds confusing. What is the first question she asks? She goes, how can this be? How can me? I mean, she's not naive. She said, some estimates say she's 16 years old. Joseph, probably older, because he can provide for her. He has a business. He's a carpenter. And she asked, how in the world can this be? How can I, being a virgin, never been with a man? And at that point, she's betrothed to Joseph, which by then means that you're married, although you've never consummated the marriage. So she knows that they are married. And she doesn't ask, what am I going to say to Joseph either? Right? Small problem. Hey, honey, I'm pregnant. And the assumption being what? I've been sleeping with somebody and it wasn't you. The ridicule that would come from the community, she doesn't ask about how I'm going to handle that. And how does the angel answer? Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Who's the dad? God is why he's called the Son of God. Verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive as in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And how does Mary respond? I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. As we talk about and think about what mothers are, is mothers we see are willing to serve God's purpose. They're saying, okay, I'm your person. I just can't help but think, why is it that God chose Mary? And I think this is indicative of it. Is she didn't ask why. I don't know about you, if you ever had kids. The first time you ask them to do something, what do they say? Why? And some of us, in our incredible intelligence and wisdom, respond, because I told you so. I hated that. As a kid, I got so mad, I said, because. Because I was one of those kids who is precocious and always asked why. And maybe you've been around the three-year-olds, you just get the feeling they just like to hear themselves talk. Because you will say the most obvious things. Hey, we're going to go to the store. Why? Well, we need to get some groceries. We're running out of food. Why? And finally, you lose patience. Like, just get in the car. We're going to the store. And you'll find out why. Why? Why? And she doesn't ask those things in the sense that she doesn't ask all those things that maybe you and I would be tempted to ask. She asked that's a pretty significant technical issue here, right? How am I going to get pregnant when I've never been with a man? And I'm not planning to until we're married to my husband, betrothed Joseph. And it's interesting, as the angel replies, Mary, you just need to be willing, because this doing is God's doing, not your doing. You think about moms, as you can be overwhelmed. You know, and I don't know the significant statistics of it, but I imagine there's more than a few moms that lose their minds raising children and being moms of families, having nervous breakdowns and just want to check out. And maybe you've been that place. My wife, I'll confess for her, she, back in the day when shaken baby syndrome was a thing, became sadly aware of, she commented to me one time, I know how that happens. I know how that happens. I'm like, Jackie? Wonderful, loving mom, Jackie? She goes, yeah, I know how that happens. Sadly, I probably was partly blamed, because I was a clueless dad, clueless husband, about the responsibilities and challenges of motherhood. But those things are challenging. Mary's response is a window into why she found favor with God. I am the Lord's servant. You do what you say, what your word, I'm all in. Young mom that God knew, as we look through, what kind of person, what kind of mom does God want for us to be as willing to serve God's purposes. It's interesting, as her delivery date approaches, they get this crazy edict from Caesar Augustus, from saying, hey, you guys need to go to your hometown, your ancestry town, you need a census. So she's far along in her pregnancy. As we know that, because she gets to Bethlehem, right? It's about 90 miles, and she's riding on a donkey. Yeah, that's right. Mom's moan. Guys don't. What's the big deal? Just hop on that donkey, you're alive. You don't have to walk. You can ride. It's like you're thinking that baby's going to come out any minute. And she makes that distance. A mom willing to do what she needs to do. Just because she's having God's son doesn't mean life becomes easy. I remember, as I reminded, thinking about Mary riding a donkey, my mom and dad, my mom would tell the story, and they both would laugh about it. They would take a young kid to Sunday school and pick up kids and go, and my mom was pregnant with their first child, my oldest sister, and she would, Dad, let me drive. She'd tell him, I don't know what she called him, Bill. Bill would let me drive. The reason why she wanted to drive was so she could hang onto that steering wheel because the roads were not paved like they are now. And not only were they not paved, they have, you've heard of washboard roads, right? Well, what is the best way to handle a washboard road? To go really slow, right? No. You go fast so that it smooths it out. So they're just like ripping down this road, trying to smooth out, and she's hanging on that steering wheel, and lo and behold, there's a turn that she does not make. Luckily, she didn't yank the steering wheel, but she just rode that baby out there, and they ended up in a farmer's field. They turned to that young boy in the back, says, "Woo, man, wasn't that fun?" And they had to call a farmer, and they had to haul him out. But just think about it. Mary riding a donkey. Like, there's, you know, what do you hang on to? She doesn't have a steering wheel to hang on to. And you don't make a donkey ride fast to skip the bumps. But the challenge is that just because you're walking in God's will doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. The next time we see Mary's interacting with Jesus is when he was 12. When you look at Luke chapter 2, and Luke is amazing. He was a doctor by profession, so he cared about detail, and he was letting us know who this Jesus is. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 41 of Luke. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem, and for the festival of the Passover, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Verse 44, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him around their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Mothers are not only willing to serve God's purpose, but mothers are imperfect. Imperfect. How many of you have forgotten your children somewhere? I got forgotten. You know, you'd say, I got left at church. Everybody was gone, and my parents were gone. Like, luckily, I'm like, I think I got to start walking home. I think I was probably only in fourth grade or something like that, so I wasn't even quite sure how to get home. But eventually, somebody came back. So, yeah, we sat down for dinner, and you weren't there. It's like, thanks. At least somebody noticed. And I say, oh, good, they noticed. They noticed. They headed back for a day's journey, but can you just hear the voices in Mary's head? It's like, what kind of mom am I that I can't even keep track of my son? What kind of mom am I would lose their son, let alone God? Like, this is precious cargo. You should know where he is. Verse 46, we read, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." How many days were they looking for him?
3 days.
That's 4 days later. You know, the statistics, right? They're like, oh, you know, you're missing your kid. That's not a good sign. There are so many crowds. Somebody probably took him and kidnapped him. Maybe he's dead. Maybe something happened. For 3 days, can you imagine the anxiety that's going on inside of you? How their stomach is turning over and over? And the response is, "Son, what in the world are you doing?" Hey, it's interesting. It wasn't Joseph that got after Jesus. Who was it? The mom, Mary. She's like, you know, hey, I don't know about in your house, but when mama got mad, the room went silent. Because when mom gets mad, it's like, this is a big deal. I get to tell on Jackie again. It's Mother's Day. We were on a trip to Guatemala, and I don't remember exact details. And we went with our youngest son, Cole, who is, I call him contrary. He loves to go the other way just to see what you'll do about it. He loves the look on your face. And Jackie, being the loving, patient person that's in, he had this thing for a while. He called it heavy head. Heavy head is where he would just, on his head, he would lean the whole weight of his body on you. And he, at that point, he was heavier than his mom in high school. I think he was probably a freshman in high school, something like that. And we're in the airport where you're heading to a foreign country, and she'd had it with him. And she's hit him. She says, "Cole, would you just stop that?" And she hit him, and she's like, he stopped. He says, "Mom just hit me. Mom just hit me." And we're like, "Dude, we know. You're an idiot." It's like, if you know mom hit you, you like crossed the line about 12 miles ago. And so Mary shows up, and she says, "Jesus, what the heck were you thinking? We've been looking at you for 3 days. We didn't know you're with us. Why didn't you tell us? What in the world is going on?" Even though God took notice of Mary, Mary was not the perfect mom. She was distracted with life, and she missed some important facts about who her son was. She didn't understand all that was going on. It wasn't clear to her who this prophetic miracle baby truly was. And that process that Mary gets in Jesus' face, and Jesus gets back in Mary's face. What does he say? Verse 49. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then they went down to Nazareth Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured these things in her heart. Mary, like a mom, gets in Jesus' faith and gets him the what for, but Jesus turns right around. Said, "Listen, mom, dad, my father, by the way, Joseph, you're not my dad. You're my earthly dad, but my father is who? My father in heaven. And you need to know about what I'm about. It shouldn't have been a question for you to know where you'd find me. I was going to be in my Father's house. I was going to be in my Father's presence. That's where you'll find me. I just think about it. It was confusing to her, I'm sure. She says they didn't understand what he was saying. You know, at that point, if you really understood, it's like, Jesus, you can stay here. We'll come back and get you next year. No, they're like, you get in the back of the car, you get in the back seat, and you strap in, we're heading back to Nazareth. It's like, I don't want to hear anything more about this. Not understanding what was happening. We get in the next picture, and I'm going to say, not until 18 years later do we see the next interaction of Jesus and his mother. In John, we read about it in John chapter 2, and I believe it's the only gospel that highlights this. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, and Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Woman, which is not a disrespect in the Greek, it just means, she was a woman, but it's not a disrespectful. "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he says." Mothers have powerful influence. Because as we know, Jesus goes on to do something. It's amazing to me. This is God. And Jesus says, "Hey, my time hasn't come. I'm not supposed to do miracles yet." And yet, who gets him to do miracles? His mom. How many have a mom that will not take no for an answer? I remember my mom when Jackie and I were planning our wedding. My wonderful wife was somebody who did not spend all of her money. Unlike her husband-to-be, spent all of his money, because that's what money's for. It's for spending. She spends it on what's needed, and I spend it on what I want. And so she had money in the bank and was like planning this wedding, and she's like, okay, we have this much money for this many people. And we went to a large church, and we're thinking, okay, man, we're going to limit it to like 100 people, and that'll be it. And my mom brought us a list, and it quickly went to 350. And my mom, if you knew her, she a very sweet person, but she did not take no for an answer. We said, you know, Mom, that's really great, and I know there's a lot of friends, but here's, you know, limited to this many people. That's all we can do. She said, oh, that's okay, honey. Here, there's just a few people. Here, just we want to put this on the list. Mom, you're not hearing what we said. It says we can't do that. She goes, oh, it's just a few. It'll all be fine. And you don't say no to Mama. We invited them all, and God provided. We were able to have a very nice wedding with lots of family and friends. But it was just hilarious. It was like, you couldn't say no. We tried to say no tactfully as many different ways as you can, and it couldn't be done. And it just cracks me up. Is like the relationship that Mary had with her son was one of trust. Because it's obvious, just her asking him, hey, just do what he says. She had no idea Jesus was going to turn water into wine. You know, it's like, you know, do that thing you did at home one time. Do that again. No, his integrity was like, Jesus was able to think through things that nobody else could figure out. Or see provision in places like she had seen enough of it and who he was to say, just do what he says and it'll turn out good. Moms have powerful influence. Bigger influence than you realize. That you get to navigate and create the children that God intended as you walk out your faith, your imperfection. Just to be willing servants of who God called you to be. We see a most poignant scene at the crucifixion. Another last interaction of Jesus and his mom before he dies. We read in John 19, verses 25 to 27, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. She wasn't the only one. There were several other women. They talked about lots of women who followed Jesus from Galilee and provided for his ministry. They were there too. And we know John was there, as we'll see. We're not sure where the other disciples were. When Jesus saw his mother, verse 26, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, which is John, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." Then she pointed to John. And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. God honors moms. Even in death, he's hanging on the cross, coming to the end of his life. And who is he caring for? Himself? No, the people. The words he says, he ends with, you know, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You're thinking, "I'm dying for the sins of the world. I am your ticket into heaven, to eternity, to holiness, to righteousness, to life unknown, life abundant." And who does he pay attention to? His mom. Is it significant? Because moms and women in that society didn't have the right and the wherewithal to provide for themselves. And they needed to have the protection of a man and provision. And now, you know, you wonder, what's significant? Why? We could say at that point, his brothers were not believers. They thought he was a little whack. You know, there's crazy John and there's crazy Jesus. They didn't understand what was going on. We know later on they followed, because you look at the upper room, not only Mary was there while they waited for the Holy Spirit to come, but his brothers were there. So we know the light bulb went on, like it has for us. Where would we be if we were back before pre-resurrection Jesus? Who would have we been? We're in the privilege known as, like, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus brings life. We get to enjoy that now. But they didn't know that then. But in that moment, Jesus looks down and sees his mom and said, "Mom, I love you and I see you." And God, in his moment of leaving his earthly body and his earthly role, honored his mom. Mothers willing to serve God's purpose. Mothers imperfect. Mothers with a powerful influence. And mothers that God honors. God honors. Let's pray. Lord, I'm excited because as my buddy Doug, as we talked about Mother's Day earlier this week, that was fascinated by the profoundness of Mary and the role that she played in being the mother of the Son of God that brought salvation, that brought redemption, that brought forgiveness in the world, was just a woman. Just a human being that God noticed because of what her willingness to serve. Lord, imperfect though she was, Lord, she honored you. Lord, I pray that this morning, that whether they're online moms listening, that they would know that you notice them. Lord, that you see them, their difficulties, you see their challenges. Lord, and you know better than anybody their imperfection, and yet you honor moms. Lord, I pray for encouragement to moms today. Lord, that they would know that they're loved and that they're noticed. That we would, that they would be moms that say, "Here I am. Lord, let me be your servant. Let those things be done in the places I go and the influence I have be your, be submitted to you, Father." Lord, and in that place that we, they would be, bring honor to you. Lord, I thank you for moms. I thank you for that neighbor lady, that grandma lady at church, or the aunt. Lord, or even our own moms, Lord, that were significant in who we've become, who we are today because of them. Lord, we love you, Father. Lord, we thank you for moms. In Jesus' name, amen.